This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Anthony Brooks.
Massachusetts is once again leading the way in health reform. After becoming the first state to achieve almost 100% insurance coverage back in 2006, following the state's landmark insurance reform, now the state legislature is taking aim at controlling the skyrocketing cost of health care.
This hour, House leaders are unveiling a long-awaited health care payment reform bill, whose proposals include levying a surcharge on higher-cost hospitals and capping how fast care costs can rise.
Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, got a preview of the bill and joins us to help explain the House plan. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Meghna.
So, some of the highlights.
Well, so yes, I have before me a bunch of PowerPoint printouts fresh off the presses. This is actually happening as we speak. And indeed, what we have is a sort of a whole collection of ideas coming out of this House committee that handles healthcare reform on how to make our healthcare system better. And one of the big ideas is one that you've heard about before. It's helping to shift our healthcare system away from what's called fee-for-service and toward global payments.
And remind us what that is.
Well, my favorite analogy for global payments is the system that we have now is called fee-for-service, and it's kind of like ordering food a la carte. Like, basically, doctors and other healthcare providers get paid for each service that they provide. And global payments are sort of more like the prefix menu, or putting doctors on a budget. Like, basically, you pay, or actually the health insurers pay the doctors for you for your whole year of care, depending on your level of health or sickness, and the doctors try to work within that budget.
Okay. So that's global payments, and that's one of the central aspects of the House proposal. What else are they looking to change in Massachusetts?
So quite a few things. A couple of the sort of most probably controversial ideas are, first, that they want to put a kind of a cap on how much health costs can grow every year. They're proposing that this cap begin 3 years from now and that it be the gross state product, so in other words, however much the state's economy has grown, minus half a percentage point.
So in other words, don't grow faster than the state's economy is growing.
Right, and even a little less because you've been growing so fast for so long.
Okay, this is kind of a big deal because healthcare costs are rising at what, 5-7% on average? And right now, the state's economy, I mean, we're not in the greatest economy overall, but the state's economy is definitely not growing at 7% a year.
Definitely not. But the health costs have been starting to flatten out anyway because of the recession, and some people think it's also because maybe healthcare is starting to do more things right. So it is a trend that's happening already, and this would kind of aim to push it along and also give people in healthcare just a sense of what the state is aiming for. Another really interesting idea, probably the most controversial, is this sort of a surcharge on high-cost hospitals. So what that would do is if your hospital is charging more than 20% above the median price, then you could have levied on you a surcharge of 10%, which you as a hospital would have to pay into what's called the distressed hospital funds, and it would go to community hospitals that have a very high level of Medicare and Medicaid patients.
So this sounds like something of a penalty to those high-cost hospitals.
That's right. Now, there is an out for those hospitals, which is that if they can prove that what they're doing is special, if they can sort of justify their high prices, then they don't have to pay the surcharge. So this is kind of an interesting example of how this bill really tries to balance between all the interests in healthcare, which is just incredibly hard. But basically, what Speaker DeLeo is saying is that we don't want to clobber, you know, Mass General and all the other great teaching hospitals that charge a lot but are doing cutting-edge work.
Okay, so all those interests in healthcare include the medical providers, the hospitals, the insurers, and of course, patients and consumers.
Patients. Yes, let's get to us. What are we going to be seeing? So I asked Representative Steve Walsh, who's the House chairman of the committee who's overseeing all of this, what we as patients can expect. And he said, well, first of all, what I'd tell you is 5 years from now, your family plan is going to cost $2,000 less a year in health insurance premiums than it does now. So they are promising that we will see savings. That's the promise. Another couple of interesting things that we're going to be seeing as patients is there's supposed to be more transparency. So it's supposed to become much easier to be able to tell how much something is going to cost if you need a procedure and also what the risk is at various places. That's part of this plan. And another patient-oriented piece of the plan is that if you are denied treatment, there will be a very it's promised, a very efficient appeal system in which you can go to the state and say, look, you know, they're not giving me what I need, sort of like the HMOs in the 90s. You need to help me.
So that's all if this or a version of this plan actually gets passed. Now, Governor Deval Patrick, he filed his version of a health care cost control plan a year ago.
Right.
The Massachusetts State Senate is set to unveil their version next week.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday. So overall, how unique is Massachusetts in even suggesting this suite of policy proposals to control healthcare costs?
Well, a lot of the policy proposals come from things that are being tried around the nation. But the House leaders who are proposing this say that it is once again an example of Massachusetts leading the way on healthcare.
Carrie Goldberg is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Look to Common Health for detailed coverage of healthcare reform as it moves forward in Massachusetts. Carrie, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Meghna.
So that's the plan, but will it work? Joining us now is Jonathan Gruber, professor of economics at MIT and director of the healthcare program at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He's also known as the architect of the 2006 Massachusetts landmark health insurance reform plan and was also an advisor to President Barack Obama on the National Affordable Care Act. Professor Gruber, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
So we hear today that House leaders, including Representative Stephen Walsh, who's co-chair of the committee that put together this bill, say that over the next 15 years, if this bill passes, the state could save something around $160 billion in health care costs. Do you think that's realistic, and what do you make of the plan?
You know, I think that the important thing to note is two things. First, there are huge numbers at stake here, $160 billion, $150 billion, $180 billion. We don't know exactly, but there are huge, huge numbers. This is the fastest growing element of people's budgets and of state and local spending. Second of all, this is an incredibly hard problem, and I think that what healthcare reform has suffered from in the past is the notion that either you have to get it perfectly right or you shouldn't bother. This approach is incredibly aggressive and broad and really visionary, but we don't know for sure if it'll work. But once again, we've been held back by not doing things because we're not sure if they're going to work. I think it's a great first step. I think it's got a lot of promise to work. We can't guarantee it's going to, but we can't guarantee anything in healthcare cost control.
Well, there are aspects of the plan which make a lot of sense to me, things that government has the power to do. For example, it can levy those penalties or taxes on the extremely high-cost hospitals. But what about this idea that it's going to require the healthcare industry in Massachusetts to cap its rate of cost increase to, you know, roughly 3.5%? I mean, how is it that they can say, we're going to give you a target rate, that's what you have to hit? I mean, by what means can we do that?
Well, I mean, basically, that is left to be decided. What we know is that it's setting a target. It's an aggressive but not unrealistic target. It also sets up an institution run by an expert board of directors, much like we have for our connector that's been so successful in expanding health insurance. And it says, here's the goal. Here's a huge number of tools to help you meet it. But if you don't meet it, we're ultimately going to bring a hammer down. We're just not saying what that hammer is yet. So in some sense, the notion is, look, we don't want to have to tell you what we're going to do because we are fully confident people are going to meet it. And we've got a huge number of tools that we introduce in this law, ranging from everything from incentives to keep prices down, malpractice reform, to other pieces that'll help us meet it. If we don't meet it, then we'll revisit it and figure out what to do then.
So I hear that you like sort of the aggressive nature or the visionary nature of the plan. But are there things that you think should have been in the bill that aren't?
You know, I don't. I can't think of any. As I said, I think that healthcare cost control is really hard. I think the bigger issue is, are there things in the bill that shouldn't be? I think that I very much like the idea of setting the targets. I think that that is a really great idea. I like the malpractice, I like other pieces. I'm a bit curious and worried about the piece which is going to tax these high cost providers. I think that's something which is a good idea to set out that as a goal. But once again, I think we need to proceed carefully in that and make sure that we can really distinguish costs that are high because of high quality versus costs that are high because of just market power or other reasons. So that's the bottom line is, what I like about this law is that it's really taking what I've called before sort of a spaghetti approach to cost control, which is let's still throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. I really like that. They're doing a bunch of different things, all of which might work. given the uncertainty that we face in healthcare cost reform, that's exactly what we should be doing right now.
Well, Professor Gruber, I wonder, the 2006 Massachusetts insurance reform essentially got just about everyone into some form of healthcare insurance. But it seems like a major difference between that effort and this one is that, you know, listeners out there might be hearing this and thinking, wait a minute, by saying that hospitals have to control costs by moving people into global payments, by potentially penalizing high-cost hospitals, might this actually have a detrimental effect on the care that I'm getting or will get?
You know, what we have in America is a situation where everything we've done has always been erring on the side of making sure care is of the highest possible quality, damn the costs. We're going to have to get away from that mindset. There's nothing in this law which for sure says quality will go down. But it is true that if you're going to tackle cost control, you're going to risk the fact that people might not get all the care they want when they want it. And that's ultimately the trade-off we have to make. Now, when you start from a position where you've completely erred on one side, you need to push a little bit in the other direction. No one's saying you're going to push so far that patients are going to suffer. But right now, we've erred so much in the direction of doing everything possible to benefit patients. We're going to have to move a little bit the other direction if we're really going to seriously control healthcare costs.
Jonathan Gruber, last quick question to you. Apparently, in 2009 and 2010, the cost of healthcare increased by roughly 4%, or just under 4%, the slowest rate of growth that we've seen in many, many years. That, in part, is due to the overall economy and the slowdown. Is it possible that even despite efforts, we might be seeing some sort of natural, slow correction in the rate of growth as it is?
Well, you know, this is why, you know, you mentioned before that the target and sort of how's that enforced. In some sense, a lot of what we need for cost control is really just sort of moral leadership and goals. I think that's a lot of what this law provides. The slowdown we're seeing, partly it's the recession, but partly it's changing attitudes among providers, among insurers, saying, look, we can get healthcare costs under control. Let's start changing our behavior. And I think that's what's most exciting about this law, is it sets those goals and puts in place the incentives to change behavior. And we might see continuation of this low-cost growth we've seen the last couple of years.
Jonathan Gruber is a professor of economics at MIT and director of the healthcare program at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He was also the architect of the 2006 Massachusetts insurance reform and an advisor to President Barack Obama on the National Affordable Care Act. Professor Gruber, thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Coming up, our week in review. Stay with us. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.